Welcome to Folio, a Crit Award-nominated actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Zeta, and I'm showcasing multiple possible experiences with self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. Now and throughout June, you can head over to critawards.org to vote for Folio to win Best Upcoming Podcast, or for me to win Best Tech/Producer. This is episode 1 of our Games of Furia, a solo journaling game in a dystopian future where creatures of the night adapt to technology to survive by Woshi. Woshi is also the layout artist for the upcoming print edition of Galactic and Going Rogue, which is currently crowdfunding. His work is gorgeous, and it is a treat to be on a team with him. I'm doing a bunch of actual play production and performance and writing and editing and behind-the-scenes work for that project. I would love it if you headed over to bit.ly/galacticgoingrogue to nudge us up to some stretch goals so I can do even more. If I sound weird, it's because I ended up squishing my face because I'm excited about what I'm talking about. I don't know. The other two beautiful undead trawling the neon streets with me are Matt Orr and Alyssa. I'll tell you a little bit more about them at the break. We explained the concept of the game pretty well as we set up, so let's just jack right the fuck in.
Okay, I am getting ready to play Furia.
This game is so pretty.
It's red and black and white. You know, the logo is this unreadable name. It looks like teeth, vampire teeth, because this is a vampire. All I know is that this is a vampire, but it's cyberpunk game.
Love vampires, love cyberpunk, love the way that vampires are framed in this sort of cyberpunk narrative.
So I'm already thinking about like being temporally displaced and like, does my character like having to search the streets for a fountain pen, when everyone else is doing voice logs. I haven't read anything yet. I'm going to get into that right now.
Furia is a solo journaling game about survival set in the city of Bologna. Bologna?
In a dystopian future where creatures of the night must adapt to the technology in order to survive.
In these filthy streets, teeming with flesh and bone bodies as well as metal and hybrids, you are part of the Calamity, an ancient clan of powerful vampires, and must survive challenges such as war, assassination contracts, theft, hunters, corporations, religious zealots, domineering gangs, and other clans.
You'll narrate your story through logs in a terminal connected to the Bologna Matrix network. Careful not to get hacked.
For reasons unknown, vampires have lost the ability to grow in numbers and found a fix for the problem in technology, DNA alteration made possible by advances in a nanotech branch known as Chimera. This has allowed them to program the mutation that creates new vampires. In the beginning, vampires had their canine teeth and part of their jaw removed to make way for a cybernetic implant. As time went on, the process got simplified until the implants became very small things inserted under the cheekbones and connected to natural fangs. I'm like touching my face so much to understand the placement of this. I'm very in it.
So it's not just that we're feeding and new vampires are sort of an occasional byproduct of that. It's that we as vampires decided, you know what we really need in the world is more vampires, and invented a scientific solution to that, to be able to keep perpetuating, which is just fun.
The entire setting of this game is so, so my shit.
To start off, let's do some character creation.
Start by determining who you are, your name, physical characteristics, relationship with the clan, and relationship with the city.
I have read the rules, and I've looked at all the character creation stuff. I've left a couple things to roll live.
I am going to hold off on name and physical characteristics to start off, and go with my relationship with the clan and relationship with the city.
The clan is Calamity. I'm just going to take a look at the Book of Fate, the second booklet. There's the core booklet, and then there's the Book of Fate that has some tables and some other stuff that's very cool. It has a list of clans with some information about them. Calamity, one of the oldest clans, their philosophy values honor and sacrifice for the family, in quotes. Today, it is among the smallest clans, but still the most powerful and richest. All right, I'm in the vampire mob. That makes sense.
I'm going to be going through this adventure as Quaestor Imperius Karnak, as a member of Calamity, the vampire clan is the oldest and richest one, most powerful. They have a lot of Romany sort of trappings which is why I've taken on the low-ranking title of Quaestor. I appear as a waifish, very thin, nearly, you know, anime hero type thin young man, middle-aged man. I have silver hair, but very short.
So the clan itself, Clan Calamity, this is a group that really sort of requires loyalty, requires honor. And I think that I want to play with that a little bit. So I think I was first introduced to Calamity as a contractor, a bodyguard, a human, definitely, because I assume they're not turning every person in contact with them and they still have need of, you know, cannon fodder. I mean, they are one of the smallest clans, so. I think that they saw their values reflected in me, my sort of loyalty, devotion to the job, willingness to put myself in harm's way for them. And that was enough to get me an invitation into the clan itself, for them to choose to turn me, because a human bodyguard is good, but a vampire bodyguard is even better. And I mean, I think I was really good at my job and I was dedicated to it, but more than dedication to the clan, I was dedicated to the specific member who I was working with, who I was serving, you know, a very like bodyguard, VIP, romance dealy. But they didn't know that. And so I was turned and we worked together, and we worked together well, and we became romantically engaged. But while I valued her over Calamity, over everything, she truly embodied their values, and her greatest devotion was to the clan itself. And at the time, you know, that was just another reason to love her, you know, her dedication to this family, to this cause. But I think it ended up getting her hurt or killed. I think that she chose death over betraying the family to a vampire hunter. And that was, you know, the most Calamity thing that you could do. But it was heartbreaking to me, obviously, because she chose the clan over returning to me. You know, she could have given this hunter information about the clan, helped set them up against it, and then told me, and we could have gotten away before that blew back on us, before it blew back on the clan. But instead of doing that, she simply chose death. I feel betrayed by her and hurt that this family I am now sort of immortally a part of was a big contributing factor to her being gone from my life now. But, you know, she loved it so much and she really believed in it. And so I can't quite bring myself to turn my anger against Calamity itself. And so instead, it is all focused on this vampire hunter. So my relationship to the clan is a little terse, a little tense, but it was a part of my beloved. And so I can't quite turn away from it, even though I am much less tethered to it than I was before.
Need a cyberpunk vampire name. The first one that came to me is Fangs, but spelled like F4NGZ. But the thing is, this is like ancient, vampires have been around. So there's no way there isn't already someone named Fangs. And I wonder if that's like gauche. Going to my old friend relatedwords.io and looking at words that are related to blood, hemoglobin, serum, sanguinary. Are all of the listed clans vampire clans? They are. Okay, so there are so many vampires. I think that means I should probably have a regular name. That, of course, is relative to the way that I normally name characters. So I'm just going to go to my random noun generator. Inspection. Ooh, Speck is a great name. And then I want, like, Calamity is like a family clan, which, like, for vampires can, you know, be a little vague. Like, that could just mean, like, a bunch of us turned each other and we have, like, the ties. Vampires have found family. Vampires have very violent found family, which is something I love about them. So first name is Speck, which might be short for inspection. Yeah, it is. I'm still me. And then Calamity, Calamitous, Cataclysm. Inspection Cataclysm is pretty good. Maybe the last name is just Cata, and that's essentially short for Cataclysm. Immediately thinking of some, you know, sexy vampire mob boss being addressed as Miss Cata is great. I'm spelling Cataclysm with K's. So inspection, also with a K. Inspection, Spec, Cataclysm. And I'm a vampire. Oh, this game has me so hype.
We can do name. I have a name now. So I think that, I mean, if you're living 100 years, I think that name changes are maybe just a part of that existence. And I think that after my beloved died, I picked a new name. And it's not necessarily what I'm going by to members of the clan or to other people I'm interacting with, but it is sort of what I'm calling myself in my head, like a call sign as I hype myself up to get through the day. And so the name that I have chosen for myself is Tisiphone. I'm going to go with she, her pronouns for my vampire. And I should also pick a name for my beloved. So going to the cyberpunk name generator, we are going to go with Ayla Solari, also she, her pronouns. I'm trying to decide if I actually want surnames. I think that we are a known group, and so maybe we don't really even use surnames. If absolutely pressed, we could use Calamity as that surname. But, you know, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, then you're probably getting a fake name anyway. So I am Tisiphone, and my lady love was Ayla.
Name, physical characteristics. Oh, I'm terrible at that. Maybe I'll make a pick row at some point, but whatever. Hot vampire.
In terms of physical characteristics, I was a bodyguard. I'm still a bodyguard, though I'm now a vampire one. And I think that I am sort of very butch, very strong, very muscular, wide, solid frame. Lots of scars, shaved head. I think I have a cybernetic arm. Maybe I lost my flesh arm while I was still a human, sort of working to protect Ayla or another member of the Calamity. And that sacrifice is what brought me really to their attention and what helped lead into my becoming a vampire in the first place. And so this arm is definitely like old tech, almost more mechanical than technological. And so I think because I am, you know, 100 years old, the technology isn't like cool retro. It's just kind of old, but it's really high quality and I am able to do repairs on it myself. I'm not locked into a contract with a corporation to keep it updated. I'm able to do everything myself, or maybe Ayla used to help me with it. And, you know, finding parts for repair can be a bit tricky, but that happens a lot less than I might need to do with sort of a newer tech arm. So that's definitely a sort of focal point, a standout point. It's, you know, a little bulky. It definitely doesn't look like flesh. I think that it is sort of unvarnished metal. And it is clearly a little banged up just from years of wear, but very, very well tended.
Imperius, who probably doesn't go by that, probably has some diminutive, maybe people just call him Karnak. But he wears a suit with like a preppy college sweater kind of look. I think it's like a, you know, very dark gray suit with the sweater under the suit jacket. But then because you got to do something weird for this sort of future setting, like a capelet, like a black capelet, very much look taking the place of sort of a... I'm gesticulating to my shoulders, a sort of a casually draped sweater over the shoulders is replaced by this rainproof cape that only comes down to, you know, the middle of the arms. It's very all style, no function kind of a thing. And then I've also decided that he wears a Phrygian cap, which is another Roman trapping thing that was a symbol of, like, you know, liberty, which is all connected to the relationship that Imperius has to the Calamity. He's in the structure. He's doing, you know, quote unquote, what he needs to be doing. But by wearing this hat, he's sort of indicating that he's not necessarily totally down with the pure authority that I imagine is part of the of Calamity. He's sort of, you know, he's pushing the edge of like what is acceptable to get away with in terms of like, you know, not following the orders, though he is in the structure of the leadership, trying to work his way up. Maybe the setting talks about the vampire teeth are sort of all cybernetic now, but I think that might be the only evident cybernetics that I have. So very minimal as far as that goes.
So the rulebook says, the fangs themselves ran the gamut of improvements, made bigger and deadlier, often customized for sheer style, gleaming, finer, stouter, jeweled, metallic, and more. And so based on the rest of my vibe, you might expect some pretty, like, workmanlike, sort of practical things. Or, you know, if they are embellish at all, it's to make them look more vicious, more threatening. But actually, the fangs that I have are really small and delicate and almost crystalline. Maybe they're diamond. I just have straight up diamond fangs in my mouth, clear and gleaming with sort of slightest blush tone, not because they're bloodstained. They are not. I keep them very clean. Thank you very much. But just because that's the color of the material itself is a sort of lightly blushed diamond. And the reason that I have these wildly incongruous fangs is that they used to belong to Ayla. I imagine that the sort of technology of vampirism is guarded pretty closely by the different clans and by vampires in general. And I think that when Ayla was killed by the vampire hunter, the sort of proof that they sent back was just her fangs. And Clan Calamity was going to, you know, inter them or put them in a sort of place of honor to recognize the sacrifice that she made for them. And I fought against that because I really wanted to keep her with me. And they saw my mourning and my grief and they went along with it. And they gave me her fangs and I was able to replace the, you know, very, I think, workman metal, like the arm, straightforward, boring fangs that I had with these ones from Ayla's mouth. And they aren't fitted quite correctly. I don't think I let the CyberDoc, like, alter them at all. And they didn't want to make many alterations to my mouth itself. So I think that I regularly have a sort of bit of blood in my mouth from the way that they don't quite sit right. the way that they scrape against the inside of my cheeks. And that's just a reminder, you know, of what I lost and why I need to take down this vampire hunter. And my girl does not need more reminders to hold on to her grief, but she has it in the taste of blood in her mouth now. So that's great for her and her mental health.
Relationship with the clan. Interesting. So without really thinking about it, I folded myself into specifically the family. And I wonder if, like, I think that what that means is that I was sired by somebody who is a big deal, like the mob boss, Miss Kata, or something like that. Am I also literally her kid? No. I think it's something, it's more like a, it's a toxic polycule, the main Cataclysm family, or the Katas. I don't think that everybody who's in Calamity takes the name. Maybe it's a title. Like, Kata Spec is really fun. And maybe, like, ooh, does that mean that it's Miss Kata, or is it Kata Kata? Or, fuck it, the leader of the clan's name is Clism. It's terrible. But Shinshi's called Cataclysm. Yep. That's true. That happened. Okay, just gonna write down Cataclysm. The sexy vampire mob boss. She, her. And so maybe I don't have a last name. I used to, but I like gave it up. My name is just Inspection. People call me Spec. But people who are lower in social ranking especially call me Kata Spec as a title. Because I'm like in the inner circle. High up in the family. High up in Calamity. A toxic polycule that rules this old clan. I do think everyone gives up their last name when they join as like a symbolic, like, joining the family thing. Yeah, hell yeah. So my relationship to the clan is that I think the relationship I'm writing is going to be something like loyal but volatile. I think that it's, where do I want the tension to come from here? Because I could be resentful of my place, or I could be like intensely loyal. I want to find the thing that's most interesting, because I like playing characters that are intensely devoted to something terrible. So there is a lot of loyalty there. Do I want to start with volatility? Because one thing is that I can just angle myself into starting to feel tension with being asked to, as you know, the book says, the Calamity philosophy values honor and sacrifice for the family. And maybe part of the tension is going to be, I have this intense loyalty, but start to resent that expectation. Yeah, I'm writing loyal, and then I'm writing but volatile in parentheses to sort of emphasize to myself, like, the loyalty comes first, but it can be tested. And I'll see what that looks like during play.
And what is my relationship to the city?
After enduring war and civil unrest, Bologna became the epicenter of commerce in the continent, home to high-rise skyports and vast docks, which ushered in economic development, jobs, and unbridled greed. As the city attracted powerful figures, it also became the focus of intense territorial disputes, not just physical, but digital too. A good chunk of the rises, as the active commercial sectors are called, also have digital versions in the network, so the public can frequent them in the web as well as in physical space. This was one of the major innovations, attracting people from all over the world to buy digital real estate, as well as multinationals and a flood of unrestricted propaganda. Hell yeah. Oh, God. I'm so in.
Bellona, I think fitting with this sort of, like, I keep thinking the word bohemian, right? But this isn't Bohemia. This is fantasy Bellona. He loves the city. He loves going out in the city. He loves being in the city. He's got a great love for the mixing of peoples and the sort of what's happening there. Even though, you know, it's vampire, so it's feeding ground, but also it's like he likes the nightlife. He likes the culture. He likes the music scene and the dance scene. Even if he doesn't, I don't think he participates much, but he likes being in that environment. Again, that's part of the hat, yeah, as opposed to the other things. Like, he's expressing this sort of, like, maybe longing to be a part without being able to be fully a part. Something. what a lovely character I've created. This is who I was in high school.
In terms of my relationship to the city, I mean, we are vampires, and there's nothing in the rulebook that says anything about immortality or expanded lifespan, but I imagine that has to be a part of it. And so I think that I've been living in this city now for like 100 years. And that's got to leave a mark, right? I've been through the war here. I've lived through further civil conflicts, through all of the developments and ups and downs of the last 100 years. And I mean, it's where the family is, but I've still chosen to stay. I think that, you know, our center of power might be here in Bologna, but if we had wanted to leave, there would have been an opportunity to leave, and I never pushed for that. So I think that I am pretty, I won't say enmeshed, because I don't think that I have much impact on the city myself as an actor. I am a weapon, a blunt instrument of someone else's will. I'm not interacting with the city itself of my own volition all that often. I'm not making big moves. I, you know, live somewhere. I know my neighbors, but I'm not like a major part of the community or a power player. But I also don't ever want to leave. And especially now that my beloved is gone. I mean, this is where my memories of her are. And so I feel, I think, deeply tied to the city in a way that is not quite reciprocal.
And what is my relationship to the city? That's really interesting. The phrase, the word that floated up to my mind immediately was playground. I think I'm part of a very powerful, very rich group. And I'm definitely going to make this person a hacker, like heavy on the hacking. And so I think like Spec really has the feeling of, yeah, this is my home and the place that I play. I am not untouchable, but like the risks are worth it and I'll probably win. Yeah, I think that's all I need there. I think just playground, my relationship to the city is that it's my playground, feels evocative enough to me to get going, and I'll see if that sort of develops further.
Okay, the next stop on character creation is our attributes.
5 points split between 3 stats. We've got vigor,
representing physical prowess.
Trauma,
which represents your psychological and hacking capabilities.
And insight,
which represents your sagacity. Is that what that word is? Sagacity, the quality of being discerning, sound in judgment, and farsighted, being wise. What a fucking great word. The quality of being sage, wise, or able to make good decisions. Oh, that rules. And also, I think that a character who I have described as considering the city their playground probably is not super, would be sagacious? It would, the meaning of sagacity. Sagacity. The meaning of sagacity is the quality of being sagacious. What a fucking word. That rules. Okay.
It's interesting to me that they put sort of psychological and hacking capabilities into the same statistic. And also calling it trauma is a choice that I don't quite understand.
So 5 points. And what are these points? I believe that basically when I'm up against a challenge, you roll as many d6 as the tested attribute score. Yeah, so
I am a bodyguard. So I think I'm going to put my vigor at 3 points. And now the question is if I want to divide the other 2 points between trauma and insight, or if I want a 0 and a 2.
Let me just see what it means if I have a 0. I assume it means roll with disadvantage. Or maybe it just means auto fail.
I don't see rules for what to do when you have 0 points in a stat, but I think that I will go ahead and figure that out on my own.
I'm going to assume it means auto fail. Basically, so when there's a challenge, you make a wager, which is you say like, I'm going to roll a 3. there isn't a thing. I think this is so fun because effectively it's the same thing. Like, let's say you only succeed on sixes. You roll a d6. It's the same odds if you are calling, like, I'm going to succeed on a 3 or on a 5. It's the exact same odds, but you have like a personal stake in it because you chose the number. I think that's so fun. I can see a version of this game where I can't handle that responsibility and just choose 6 all the time. And I love that as like a, I don't know, there's a cool feeling of like, hey, you're going to decide, which means it's the exact same odds, but it's still somehow kind of your fault if you fail.
I think that I will go ahead and figure that out on my own and give myself 0 trauma and 2 insight. I think that of the two of us, Ayla was the one who was great with people and great with hacking. And so we relied on her for that. She was sort of the brains in that way, and I was the muscle. Though also, you know, decently sagacious. So that's something.
You make your wager, you do your roll. If you get your number, you succeed. Otherwise, you then determine your failure by rolling another d6 that is like, 1 is a critical failure with a harsh punishment, and then a 5 or a 6 is a tolerable failure with no consequences. So there's a lot, like, you can fail in multiple different ways, which is also one of my favorite things. And you can add dice to wagers through other means, I think, mostly through advantages. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna assume you auto-fail if you don't have at least 1 point. So I'm gonna stick 1 in insight, 1 in vigor, and then I think 3 in what I'm just going to call T, because that is how the stat is referred to. That's trauma. V, T, and S are the stats. And I don't love trauma being used as a phrase in that specific way. So just going to say T.
I've chosen 1 vigor, fitting, you know, not going to be very successful punching, running, jumping. 2 trauma, which also is the game says are the hacking slots, which I'm not really sure totally what that is. I think some of the tech that I'll encounter later need, you got to have slots to put cool stuff in your cyber body. And then insight 2 as well.
Finally, we roll 2d6. The result is your fury, which represents willpower.
And you can spend fury to add another number to your wager. So you could say like, I'm going to roll a 5 and I'm going to spend a fury to add a 6. So if I roll a 5 or a 6, I succeed. The thing I'm going to roll here is the maximum. You can spend it, you can recover it, but you can never have more than you have at the start. So this is actually a pretty important roll.
2d6 fury. I'm going to roll that now to find out how much I have.
I got a 5.
5. That's relatively low on 2d6, so that could be interesting.
Okay, I got a 2 and a 5, which is a 7, so sort of a perfectly average starting level of fury.
Importantly, if you run out of fury, you are unsuccessful in your adventure. Describe your downfall: death, madness, disease, etc. So I'm you know, the maximum roll for that was 12, the minimum was 2. I got a 5. So I'm closer to the edge than some might be.
Honestly, this average level is pretty positive. I am not mad at that.
You start the game with 10 credits. Great.
10 credits to start.
Which, looking at some of the cyber you can buy, is really not enough. You would hope that this tiny rich family would be funding me a little better, but I guess it isn't to be, possibly because I am off on my own doing things that they do not officially sanction.
The next thing I have to do is define my fate, which is essentially my goal in this game.
I'm kind of intimidated by like how loose this game is.
I find this intimidating.
It's not prompt based. There's what is it called? The Book of Fate. So you can kind of randomize some things. It's a bunch of 1d6 lists, but it tells you pretty explicitly, like, you make up your own character. What do you want to do?
I think because this is like a one shot, you know, I think that I'm going to try and find a specific quest to do. I'm going to look towards the Book of Fate for this. So the Book of Fate is a tool designed to assist the gaming experience in Furia. In this book, you will find lists for several different events, such as NPCs, upgrades, locations, karmas, and others that will help you build your narrative and the universe of your adventure. Before you start using this book, you can start by defining your fate, which characterizes the goal of your adventure and defines the end game. You can also set small goals to achieve during the game. After setting your fate, as you progress through the story, you can roll dice to add elements from the lists to your adventure. Just roll as many times as you like for the lists you want. I'm going to use the lists to set that fate, because I find just starting with the open field very difficult. I was worried that it would be much more open, but it ended up in character creation. I found a little bit more. Like, I know this person, Spec, is kind of out on the town. What are Spec's pronouns? I think I'm going to do she, her for Spec as well. Yeah, and she definitely does her job, but also kind of a work hard, play hard, and play hard can mean a lot of things and is often a little scary.
So what I've decided that I'm doing, pulling with some of these classic cyberpunky kind of themes, is I'm doing a noir pastiche thing. I chose the capelet over the trench coat, but other than that, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be talking to myself in these logs. I've decided that somebody up higher up in the structure named Praetor Daring Halicarnassus, he's a couple ranks above me, and because I've got this connection to the city, I've got this relatively high insight, more than one insight, he needs me to go find one of his spawn, one of his creations. She's left, and he wanted me to bring her back, but maybe I frowned, and he told me that I can, if I prefer to think of it as a welfare check, he is fine if I tell myself that's what this is, and so I have. So I'll be going out into the city looking for this particular vampire woman who is missing from the clan. You know, part of the backstory here in the game materials is that the Calamity is not the only clan. It is the biggest and most powerful, but by no means is it the only clan. So either she's gotten into trouble or she's left of her own volition. I don't know. That's what I'm going to be questing to find out.
I think I've talked about this a little bit already in sort of character creation. But what my character's goal is to hunt down the vampire hunter who killed Ayla and kill them, because revenge makes everything better. It will certainly cure all of her sadness and cause no problems with or for the family at all in the future.
I'm going to just roll on a couple of these lists and see if something starts to come together for what my kind of starting scenario is. There is an event list. I'm going to roll a d6. I got a 5, which is a secret of this magnitude will rock the city's foundations. Ooh. I'm also going to roll on the location table. Roll a 4, which is the towers, a focus of intense commerce, open 24/7, chaotic and loud. As I was going into this, I was thinking, I like the idea that the start of this adventure is not totally on purpose. I think Spec is like doing her thing and then stumbles upon a situation. Maybe I'll find out like what job she's completing. But I think like that really plays into this, like the idea that she was at the towers and overhears a secret by accident and then has to do something about it is great to me. What am I, and I want and one more thing. I could roll on threats, just stuff like a corporate military agent, or member of an enemy clan. I could roll on karma, which is things like you're consumed by rage or you're more afraid than ever before. I am going to roll on that after to see sort of how my other job went. But I think to get a bigger faction in play right away, I'm going to roll on the list of clans and see if that helps me, like if that brings me towards what the secret is that I found. Roll the 5, which is Hoshi Inc., one of the corporations responsible for the management and security of the Bologna network, perhaps the most powerful in information domain. The best hackers are Hoshi. Cool. Okay. Yeah, okay. So I mean, if their network security, like, there's a lot of, like, weird, like, secrets that I could learn there, right? So I'm going to let that percolate while I just step a little bit back and figure out what I'm doing when it starts. I'm also going to decide the format of my logs. This game, you're asked to make logs. What does it specifically say about that?
You'll narrate your adventure through entries called logs. Each log can represent a long period, a single hour, a random sequence of event, or a day in your adventure. After that, describe the events that unfolded in any way that suits your fancy.
Yeah, so basically just every now and then I have to do a log. And I think what this is going to be is messages to Clism. I think I report directly to her. That's how high up I am. And yeah, I think they're going to be just like check-in texts, basically, that I have to send pretty regularly. I think I'll see what feels right in the moment, actually, that I might like pause and write something out. We'll see. We'll see.
I think that this mission that I'm on to find and kill the hunter who killed Ayla is not condoned by the family. I think that we just don't have the capacity for it right now. And they would see sort of going after this hunter as a betrayal of Ayla's sort of bold sacrifice for the greater family's well-being, right? Because if you go after this hunter and you get caught, well, now that's another person that could be manipulated into giving up information on the calamity if they're not as strong as she was, or it's just putting another loss after loss. And so while my logs would usually be sort of mission status reports to a contact in the family, I think that they're now going to a dead drop. I think that Ayla, sort of technological genius that she was, set up a little mailbox for the two of us. She is obviously gone and not maintaining it, but I trust her and I trust that it is still secure. So I'm leaving what would be my sort of mission reports there. And it's almost functioning as a diary for me at this point, sort of speaking into the ether, speaking to her ghost, whatever it is, into this mailbox that no one will ever hear or see, hopefully, if all goes well. And again, because this isn't a family-sanctioned mission, I think that I'll sort of be reporting in after significant events. Normally, I think that mission reports would be more time-specific, so every few hours or once a day. But because this is lacking the structure of a formally sanctioned mission, I am just going based on vibes and when I need to vent. Not that I would admit that to myself.
I'm gonna roll on the armament table to see how dangerous the job I was on was. It's like no weapons or melee weapons or low caliber weapons or high caliber weapons. I'm going to roll, and I don't think it'll be literally the gear I have, but it'll just sort of gesture at how difficult, how dangerous the job was. 4 is low caliber. Pistols, revolvers, SMGs, simple or with poisoning, thermal shock, and other effects. Okay. And I am going to roll an event. 1, assassination contract. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I was sent to kill somebody. I think as sort of a flavor thing, I think I specifically, the thing that I do a lot of, the thing that Spec does a lot of is digital assassinations, which can sometimes literally kill people, but sometimes just kicks them out of the city or makes it really hard for them to get into like the digital version of the city, which is great because it means, you know, we can really keep a... Just make sure that the crowd is the way that we want it. I stumbled on that because, like, I don't know. It's good for all the reasons you might want to kill somebody. Which aren't good reasons, right? But, like, you know, there's a reason. And because I was really drawn to the poisoning. So I like the idea that by poison, it's like a virus, right? Like a computer virus. I went and met with somebody. What clan are they part of? Two is Balthrum. The clan grew up during the Second Cyber War, made up mostly of spies from various nations united by fortune and power. They are cunning and not at all trustworthy. Hell yeah. Okay. I was sent to deal with a spy. A Balthrum spy who's been lurking around the digital realm and got discovered. And I was sent to go take them out. And I think that, yeah, it's... I, like, upload a virus to their avatar, basically. And it kicks them out. And probably scrambles their hardware a little bit. Doesn't kill them. It could if their hardware is bad enough, but it definitely makes it so that they can't come back, at least immediately. And I'm gonna roll on karma to see how it went. I don't want to do like a challenge here, because this is just sort of like setting up where I'm at when I discover this big secret. But let's see. Karma 3. You're consumed by rage. Hell yeah. Okay. So how did it go? Why am I so mad? I think I'm mad because they saw me coming. Like, I managed to corner them, and then they turned around and grinned and blinked. They said my name or something. They were like, oh, Kata Speck. And goadingly were like, really, I thought you'd find me yesterday. And I sort of like grin in this feral way, fangs flashing. And as I go to attack them, which would probably be like, are they a vampire? I guess the clans don't all have to be vampires, do they? Maybe they do. Yeah, I don't know. They're a vampire, but I still could bite them and deliver sort of the like virus payload. And I think as I go to attack them, they blink out of existence, like they log out, which maybe they shouldn't even be able to do. Like, you are supposed to obey physical rules in the digital realm. You are supposed to, at least in some form, like walk to the gates or something, unless you've been kicked. And they just blink out of existence. And that is infuriating to me. I didn't get to do my job. They did leave, and that's good. But like, they left on their terms, and they knew I was coming. So I'm just generally pissed.
One last thing that I wanted to do before I actually sit down and make my little first entry is I wanted to go to the Book of Fate, and I wanted to roll on the karma table and see what I get there. 5. You're more afraid than ever before. I think that's perfect for starting out this with Imperius, where this is probably his first real test of like vampire hierarchy politics. He's been given this assignment. If this goes well, the Praetor will be on his side. If this goes poorly, I don't know what they do to vampires who misbehave, but like, you know, it's gonna be bad. And I think the other thing that I want to play with in this story is this wanting to belong but not being able to belong thing, and the wearing the Liberty cap, and sort of like, I think he thinks that this is like, if the woman that he's after has found a better way of living, then maybe he'll want to leave the clan as well. So I think he knows that in the back of his mind, is a possibility on the table. So that's that karma roll. Perfect. Perfect for what I was already thinking.
Going to the towers, focus of intense commerce. I think I'm going to go talk to somebody who hooks me up with like experimental hardware and complain about what just happened and ask like, hey, why were they able to kick themselves like that? And they are in the towers. And while I'm there, I overhear this secret. It will rock the city's foundations. Is it related to what just happened or not? I'm gonna roll on threats and see if that unlocks this secret for me. Corporate military agent. Okay, so Hoshi Inc. is a corporation that is responsible for the management and security. And I think what this means, having rolled a corporate military agent, I think what I overhear is a deal. The government is trying to acquire the network, essentially. And I think, like, the normally it's like there's a service that is owned by the government and private corporations are trying to take it, right? But I'm going to do the opposite. And I think the idea that the government will be maintaining this network would absolutely rock the foundations. For some people would probably think it's good. I think that I think it's bad because, like, Hoshi is a rival clan, but they're still a corporation and they can be bought. And the Calamity has a lot of money. And so the idea that the network might end up being publicly controlled by people who cannot as easily be bribed and who would have more desire to regulate it and legislate it and just like have it be accessible and not quite as manipulable, theoretically. And also the military, so like they'll be collecting data for their own purposes, which like the corporation also does. But I think that my perspective is like, I understand the motivations of Hoshi because they're similar to mine. Profit. The military, I don't know what their goal is, but I don't like it. Yeah, that's what I hear. The government is the military. Government. Wait, sorry. Corporate military agent. Corporate military. Same. No, that's okay. The table was there to inspire me. I'm I can ignore that. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I think it's that. And then what is my goal? I want to tell the higher-ups in my clan what's happening, figure out a way to maybe see if we can find more information and figure out a way to either stop it or come out on top. I think that's probably enough to get started. I just heard this secret, and I'll figure out what I want to do about it. Yeah. All right, hell yeah. 50 minutes in, or something like that. Now it's break time. My guests on this series are Matt Orr and Alyssa. You can follow Matt Orr on Instagram at Wet Ink Games, or check out all things Wet Ink at wetinkgames.com. He had me on his podcast to talk about Folio, actual play generally, and my path into indie games. You can find that now or soon on the Wet Ink Games YouTube channel. You can follow Alyssa on Blue Sky at adisasterqueer.bsky.social and find their games at adisasterqueer.itch.io. Every Tuesday in June and the first Tuesday in July, you can catch them at 8 p.m. EST EDT Eastern Time on twitch.tv/GameMasterMonday, running Soup Wardens, a two-player game about big feelings and big monsters. As for me, you're currently listening to my show, thank you. I'm Seda. You can follow me on Blue Sky at besedaships.gaygothvibes.online and check out my work generally at gaygothvibes.online. You can vote for me and for the show in the Crit Awards. Listen to the Galactic Actual Play I edited on the Party of One feed, featuring Jeff Stormer, Ify Wadiway, Nala J. Wu, Katrina Dennis, and previous Folio guest Dusty Hill. Listen to the Going Rogue Actual Play I'm in, alongside Austin Walker, Super Dylan, Natalie Watson, and Kendrick Smith on the One Shot Podcast feed. Support the Galactic and Going Rogue Kickstarter, and you could just chill. Or you could just chill. You can also just chill if you want. I'm happy you're here. All right, let's go.
Okay, now it's time to actually play the game.
I think I'm actually going to start by making a log, my very first log. This is what I was doing when I overheard the secret.
All right, so now I'm going to make my entry, and then we'll see if I can find the voice for this character.
I'm going to take a few minutes to like write out a message to Clism, and then I will come back.
I think that the first thing that I'm going to do here is, let's see, let's roll an event maybe and see if we want to go with that. I got a 3, the Calamity Seeks Vengeance, which is very funny because my whole conceit is that the Calamity doesn't seek vengeance, but I do. So I think that what that means is that I am going to start by trying to, you know, just to really reinforce the vengeance, I'm not going after the vampire hunter directly. I'm going to go after one of their apprentices. They took someone from me, I'll take someone from them. It's just the natural order of things and not unhealthy at all.
Okay. What I've written for log 001 is...
Log 001, year 3125 of the Calamity, the year of Consuls Corinth and Mycenae. Received a summons today from Praetor Daring Halicarnassus. He has entrusted me with performing a welfare check on a woman from his family. Charitable Prague hasn't been seen here in the hall for a while. He's concerned about her. There's a lot of other clans out there, but there wasn't a ransom note. I'm trying to sound all hard about this, but this is a big deal. It's up or out at every tier. A praetor's support would be a real help. Or, well, I'll just have to find her. So, where to look for Miss Prague? She had friends. I got a list. I'll start with them. Hopefully pick up a few hints. There's nightlife all over Bologna. I can work and listen to the light harmonics at the same time. She might have gone in hard for the implants. Might have never gotten up off the table. Would she go by her name or use an alias? I don't know. I've not done this before. I find things for people. Books. Specialty orders. That's basically a glorified research position. I don't really know how to find anyone. In the city? Well, it starts the same way, right? Start from what's known. Her friends. All the way down on 15 is Embracing Torino. I'll start there. End log.
Boss. The bell forced a log off. Not a euphemism. By all accounts, they're out of the system for real, though. On my way to Trainers now to see what fucking tech they might have had. Beat me if you need anything. Trainer is what I'm going to call the cyberware dealer, and it is spelled without an E. T-R-A-I-N-R. Trainer.
Because this game is so loose, I've been thinking about how I want to organize it for myself. So what I've decided is that about three roles or tests or consultations on the Book of Fate will make sort of like those three beats will then get turned into one entry with Imperius's progress so far.
Spec is like sends off this message in the tower. I picture her in like a really stupidly long elevator ride up to where Trainer is. She's like looked through the logs to see like did the spy just disappear but is still logged in? As far as I can tell, no. Ooh, do I want to wager that? Or do I want to wait? No, okay. I think they are actually gone by all accounts. They actually logged off. And the thing that is weird is just like they shouldn't have been able to do that. They shouldn't have been able to just log off like that. I'm going up to see what this cyberware is. I send off this message to Clism. The messages are, of course, encrypted, but still try not to put information in there because I'm good and we're good. But, you know, this is a city where you try not to write down anything that you do. And I know that better than anyone because I get a lot of power over people by finding stuff that they wrote down that they shouldn't have. I get off this stupidly long, like minutes and minutes long elevator. This is a very, very tall tower. And I'm waiting outside Trainer's. I think Trainer deals cyberware and also does like, you know, is a classic cyberpunk street doc, does some of the installation. I'm waiting for them to get out of surgery. Just for fun, I'm gonna look at the cyberware list and see what they're installing, just because I think it's fun. Let me see how many things there are on this list. There are 15. I'm gonna roll a d20. Roll a 10. 9, 10. Gnarly fangs. Two pairs of long customizable fangs that replace the canines with a metal structure also identifies body temperature and reacts to extraction by expelling a chemical substance that reduces the target's euphoria on contact with the skin, making the target docile. Holy shit. That rules. Yeah, absolutely. So they're currently installing gnarly fangs on somebody. I'm going to roll on an NPC table to see if they're a friend or not. Rolled a 6, which means they're from a rival clan. And which clan is that? Interesting. I rolled Calamity, which is me. I'm going to roll again. I rolled Calamity again. Okay. And then I got Balthrum. Huh. Okay. So just real quick, I think that right now, and I don't, Spec doesn't know this, Trainer is installing these nasty fangs on somebody who, I was going to say double agent. They are currently a rival. That's what I rolled. And I rolled Calamity twice and then Balthrum, which makes me think that they defected twice. They were a member of Calamity. They defected to Balthrum, which is the spy clan. And then they came back to Calamity, and it turned out they were a double agent. And it's shocking that they're around. This isn't super important, probably, but I love to roll on tables and have NPCs. They're going to be sedated anyway, but just to have them around. Cyberpunk name generator, Dax Nocturne. Absolutely. Just going to add them to my NPC list. Dax Nocturne. Part of this, I think, is that I'm like, come on, train, we talk while you're in surgery all the time. And they're like, I don't trust, you can't be in this room, I don't trust you. Look, be cool. But Nocturne's in town. And I'm like, Dax fucking Nocturne is in town? And they're like, look, yeah, there's no rules against it. And I'm just seething. I'm like, yeah, no, you're right not to trust me, because I would absolutely kill them while they're under sedation. And Trainer's like, I know, and I would lose a good customer. So stay the fuck out here, chill out, and I'll come talk to you when I'm done. And they're in surgery. I'm hanging out. I'm bored. Spec is not good at staying still, I think. And she has a habit of just kind of hacking stuff. And this is how she ends up uncovering this secret, this thing about the military planning to acquire the Bellona network. I hack into, I think I just see a signal that I don't recognize. I'm like, I have like a, you know, just something that like shows you like the equivalent of being like, ooh, what Wi-Fis are here? But I can see like some, you know, signals that are going through the air, people like communication signals. And I see one that I don't recognize. And just as out of habit, hack into it to see what they're talking about. And it is this very secure line between Hoshi and a representative of the military talking about this deal. And I think this is a challenge.
I think I'm going to use the skill roll system here to see how their conversation with Embracing goes.
The challenge specifically is like, do they know that I hacked in?
I could try to lure them into a trap. But I think that this is just raw rage that is driving me at this point. And so I am going to roll using vigor instead. I have 3 points in vigor, which means I get to make a wager and roll 3 die. So basically, I pick a number from 1 to 6. And if that number shows up on one of my 3 dice, then I win. And otherwise, I fail.
It's a system designed for you not to succeed very often, I think. And maybe that's fit to theme. So you make a wager. That's what it's called. And you pick a number, 1 to 6, and then roll a die. And if it comes up with the number you picked, you did it. And if it doesn't, you fail. And then you roll again to see how bad your failure is. So like I said, that's pretty tough odds. I think it's encouraging you not to come up against a bunch of stuff that you have to see whether or not you succeed. But that's sort of the fun.
This will be a T test, which I have 3 in. So I would roll 3d6. I do, however, think it is fair to say Hoshi is network security. And the games, the table says about the clan, like, the best hackers are with Hoshi. And so I think I'm at a disadvantage here. So your tested attribute suffers -1 until the end of the challenge. So I'm down to 2d6. Do I want to spend a fate here? No, it's early. Things are tough.
I like the idea of succeeding on this first activity and failing later. So I will go ahead and spend 1 fury. And the numbers that I will call are 3 and 5. So time to roll.
I'm going to go. I think trauma is psychological capabilities. So I think that's what we need to roll. So it'll be 2d6. I'm going to pick the number 4.
I'm going to see if I get out without them hearing me. I have 2d6 because I'm rolling with disadvantage. Because these are way better hackers than me. And What do I want to roll here? I want to roll a one because I want to roll a small number to get out undetected. So rolling 2d6 and hopefully one of them is a one. Nope. A four and a five. So I'm going to roll a d6 to determine my failure.
And neither of my dice came up four. So I failed to get any useful information from my conversation about how bad is it. That's a two.
Three. Failure. Punishing consequence.
Great. I think there's a misunderstanding of some sort that occurs, and Embracing is not interested in talking to Imperius at all about where Charitable has gone, and perhaps has even attacked and driven out of the floor with no information. He's got no clues and is so sort of embarrassed almost that this has happened that he just doesn't go to any other people within the potential circle. I think that leads me to use the Book of Fate now to determine what sector of the city I kind of go to. So we've got location list here. Let's see that. Wow, low rolls again. The Drip Nightclub, a place shared by vampires and humans. It belongs to the Calamity Clan. All right, that makes total sense that would be sort of a default place to go. I don't know that is going to result in like a test or a check. I don't know. I have to wager anything on that. So let's see what would be the next beat before I make my next log. I think maybe he follows some sort of intuition and just kind of goes somewhere. But he's going to meet some sort of NPC. Yeah, let's use the Book of Fate again here to meet someone that he meets someone at the club that's going to go somewhere.
So obviously they know that I've overheard this. Like, I think I'm not hearing them talk. I think I'm seeing like an automated transcript of their communications. I think they are talking out loud. I'm not hearing it. I'm seeing a transcript. And what is it that I do? I think I try to download it. I try to download the transcript. And I'm often able to do this undetected because I am good at this. But they've got somebody watching. They've got somebody on the line who's better and notices the connection before I can hide it. And not only do they notice, this is a failure with a punishing consequence. They're tracking me, like, immediately. I try to open the connection to download it. And not only does it not work, something comes through the other way. And they know where I am. And I can't seem to disable it. So, actually, I think I'm immediately, like, I'm gonna, they've got this tracker on me, and I think I'm gonna do another wager here to try and disable it. I shut down the connection, and I know that they know where I am. I'm gonna try and at least disable it so that I can move. We'll see. I'm still at a disadvantage here because they're still better than me. This is a 2d6. And I want to roll three here. It's my personal lucky number. So, well, lucky, whatever. It's a number I really like. I rolled a one and a six. Nope. Let's see how bad a failure it is. Three. Punishing consequence. Great.
I got a three, a five, and a one. So I do succeed on this task of finding the vampire killer, or rather finding their apprentice, and facing them down. And I think that the place that we are going to do that, I can roll for as well on the location table. Oh, and that is a six, which is the gardens, the upscale part of the city with skyscrapers as far as the eyes can see and luxurious residences above the clouds, an area controlled by Melona's leading corporations.
How do I make it worse? This whole time I've been like leaning on the wall outside of Trainers, devastatingly cool, just posed as fuck on my, probably not even on my phone, on some like... my hands are in my pockets and I have like, I'm using some like an internal overlay. Maybe I have a single, like I have a single sort of frame put down over my eye because I think those look cool. And I've been leaning, and then if you were really looking at me, it would be obvious that like I tense up when shit starts to get bad. But otherwise, like I'm pretty chill. I'm still posed. And as I try to disable this tracker, out of the corner of my eye, I see one of the tower's private security, who isn't Hoshi, because they do sort of the digital stuff. It is just private, a private contractor who is like a physical bodyguard. Their eyes move like they are getting a message and reading it on sort of like an implant. And they start looking around. And I feel pretty confident that they're looking for me. I think in this moment, I'm going to allow Speck to just slip into trainers. This threat is still very active, but I think it's more fun to let it linger rather than be like, roll to see if she can get away. I think it's more fun to be like, is she going to get trapped in this storefront? Because maybe.
So let's see. We got a young adult Calamity Clan member who is dangerous. All right. So I think, yeah, he's putting out a signal at the Drip nightclub that he's looking for information. And somebody tells him like, oh yeah, I know all about it. Come with me. And I think that's another, as a dangerous person, I think this is an opportunity for Imperius to kind of see this isn't even real danger. This is like getting mixed up with violent people at an event, you know, but it feels like true peril. I think I've somehow imagined this Imperius to be kind of cloistered, as if like he's very bookish for a vampire. So even though he likes going out, this is really, he's put his foot in it with this dangerous person. But I think he escapes without any actual danger, because I don't want to make another roll to see what happens for this log. So I think this is going to be a series of failures. He's going to be not too happy with himself. All right, let me get something written up.
So what is the vampire hunter? And not even the great, strong vampire hunter who managed to take down one of the Calamity. What is their apprentice doing in the upscale part of the city? I mean, I suppose that we have a lot of power by virtue of being wealthy. And so there are probably corporations who keep vampire hunters on their payroll, maybe on the DL, maybe sort of openly. And so I think that this apprentice is on the payroll of a company, and that is unrelated to them going after Calamity and after Ayla. That is a different side hustle, but it is the reason that they have a residence in the gardens and are able to afford that. And I should give this hunter a name. So pulling up my little cyberpunk name generator again. The vampire's hunter's apprentice is named Brom Caldera. Let's say he, him, and Z, Zem pronouns. And I am just hunting down Brom in their garden's residence. It is bullheaded and messy, and I'm sure that they have cameras and security, and the vampire hunter themselves is gonna know pretty immediately what I have done, but that is good. That is what I want. I want them to feel just even the smallest modicum of pain that I felt when I opened that package and found my love's fangs in it.
This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and otherwise self-paced TTRPGs. As you're filling out your Crit Awards ballot this month, I would deeply appreciate a vote for Folio as Best Upcoming Podcast and Seda, that's me, for Best Tech/Producer. Otherwise, to find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co. Sign up as a paid member at patreon.com/foliopod to vote on games, get early access to the bonus feed with edited audio-only versions of live streams well after they happen, and occasional other stuff. Or join there as a free member to get slightly delayed access to the bonus feed. You can follow Matt Orr on Instagram at Wet Ink Games, or check out all things Wet Ink at wetinkgames.com.
can follow Willissa on Blue Sky at adisasterqueer.bsky.social and find their games at adisasterqueer.itch.io. 4 days after every episode of this series, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, they are running Soup Wardens, a two-player game about big feelings and big monsters at twitch.tv/GameMasterMonday. You can follow Seda, the aforementioned me, on Blue Sky at posedachips.gaygothvibes.online and check out my work at gaygothvibes.online. Next week, Matt and Alyssa and I will continue our games of Furia by Woshi, the layout artist for the currently crowdfunding print edition of Galactic and Going Rogue. Everything I mentioned here is linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and take care out there.